You're never going to know what God wants to say until you begin to speak out loud to others, to people, to someone. And so he begins to relay messages. He begins to relay things to other people that they need from him. And so, you know, the church has become so self-focused in her thinking that she has gone from reaching the world to, God, what do you want for me? What do you want? What are you telling me? What are you speaking to me? You know, I need this. I need that. I need, you know, I've got so many things going on in my life. Can't you see that I have all these problems? Aren't you going to help me? And he's saying, you know, just the same thing to you. He wants you to die. Okay, he wants you to die. Do you know what that means? You are not your own. You die. You die to the opinions of men. You die to the accolades of men. You die to what you want. You die to the fact that you cannot control your situation any longer. You die to the fact that this isn't about you. This isn't about what you want. This isn't about your life being perfect and, you know, everything working for you and everyone being for you. And, you know, if you're going to speak what God tells you to speak, there's going to be people that are going to come against you. There's going to be religious devils that are going to hate you because you're going to begin to release the Spirit of God into atmospheres. You're going to begin to release freedom into places where people were in bondage. And once you get over yourself and get out of yourself and get in Christ, get in Jesus, stay in Jesus, don't get out of Him. Stay in Him and you will see the miraculous. You will see people change. You will see bodies change. And you're waiting for things to change around you in your family. But that isn't what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing the will of God. We're supposed to be going forth in the name of Jesus. We're supposed to be healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out devils. Once you get over you, come out of you, get out of you, and go into the highways, the byways, and begin to see, wow, other people have issues. Other people have problems. Wow, my issues are nothing compared to what's going on with this lady who has stage 4 cancer. You know, get over you. You know, the enemy wants to keep us so self-focused and it's really just selfishness, and it's really it's not a God spirit to be self-focused, okay? So Jesus came into the earth to do good, and he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And so he didn't come to sit around and just commune with God and commune with the Father. Yes, he had times of prayer. Yes, he went off to himself. Yes, he had to get away from everything around him. But do you know that he was in constant communion with God the Father? Do you know that he did the will of God? He said, everything that I see my Father doing, I do it because I am one with him. We are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I'm telling you, if you have Jesus in living inside of you, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And there's just a new revolutionary people have revolutionary ideas that revolutionize the world. the people that created things in their lifetime, Thomas Edison, who created the light bulb and everything, everything else that he created, when everyone thought, you know, it never dawned on people to think of revolutionary ideas like that. And that was a revolutionary idea. And we've got revolutionary people that are rising up in the church that are believing the truth about who they are, that are rising up to a new place in Jesus, that are getting out of themselves, that are dying, that are forgetting about themselves, that are losing their life, losing their lives for the sake of the gospel. And there are people that are rising up in the spirit, and there are people that are going to destroy the works of darkness. And the enemy has been at work in other people's lives, and the enemy has been at work in your life, and the enemy has been at work in the church. But God is raising up revolutionaries, revolutionists. There's a revolutionary war coming, and it is coming to the church, and it is coming through men and women of God that are rising up in the name of Jesus, that are taking their place in the kingdom of God, that are doing the will of God, that are going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And I'm telling you that you're a carrier of this revolution, of this revolutionary scheme and plan, orchestrated even from the beginning of time. You've been predestined, preordained for such a time as this. And the prophets of old wished that they could see what we are about to see. And we're not going to see it until we go forth in His name, until we begin to release the Word of God out of our bellies, until we begin to speak forth the Word of God, until we begin to prophesy and declare what thus saith God. And I'm telling you, there's revolutionary people that are rising up from the dust, from the ashes. There's beauty that is arising from ashes, and there's glory arising from these people because of who they are, because they are dead in Christ, because they no longer live, but Christ lives in them, and they walk as sons of the Most High God, and they are not moved by what they see, but they move what they see in the natural by the Spirit, and they are not moved by things of the flesh, and they are not moved off from the Spirit. They stay in the Spirit, and they're in constant communion with God, and God downloads even as they speak revelation, and there is a revolutionary war that is coming to the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, we've got to get out of this idea of, well, I've got to get somewhere, and I've got to go on top of a mountain, and I've got to go hide, and I've got to go hear from God, and I've got to go hear from Jesus, and I've got to hear what He wants to say. Let me tell you something. What He wants to say is in you. And if you've been studying, if you've been reading, if you've been communing with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, He has downloaded within you, because you have the Holy Spirit. You are born again. You are not your own. You have Jesus. You're dead. Now your life is hid in Him. And man, there is nothing that He can't do. There is nothing that is impossible for God. There is nothing that is impossible to him who believes. And you believe because Christ always believed, and He never had a spirit of doubt. He never had a spirit of fear. He never had a spirit of unbelief. And all of those things that you used to define yourself with, and those ways that you used to define yourself and who you were, are not who you are anymore, because your life is hid in Christ, and now your life is new, and you flourish And everything around you begins to receive that life of Christ. Man, it's contagious. Man, it's overwhelming. Man, it's unlimited. Man, it's power. It's authority. It's dominion. It's the goodness of God in the land of the living is about to be revealed through sons, through daughters, through men and women of God that were of no earthly stature, that held maybe no earthly high positions. He said that if you exalt yourself in this life, you will be brought down, but the humble shall be exalted by God. And I've seen God resist the proud and exalt the humble. But I'm telling you, when you humble your place, when you humble yourself to a place of absolute submission to the Holy Spirit and to Jesus, and you say, God, do what you will through my life. It is no longer I that live. I am dead. I die to what I want. And now I'm alive in you. And once you humble yourself under the hand of Almighty God, He exalts you. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what that means? This idea of humility has been perverted, just as other ideas in the church have been perverted. And I'm telling you, this is a revolutionary idea. And I'm telling you that humility is the highest form of submission. And when you submit to God and you say, God, I can't do this, but God, I know that Christ in me can do all things. And I know that there is nothing impossible because I am in Christ and Christ lives in me. And His life, the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who died, who gave Himself up for me. And it is no longer Maria that lives, but Christ who lives through her. And now you have a new name, and your name is Christ, and you are seated with Him in heavenly places. And Christ and Jesus was the man that walked on the earth, and Christ is the divinity. He is the divinity of God. He is the divinity of the Father, and the divinity lives in you and dwells in you and has His being and His life works and operates through your life. And everywhere you go, you spread this message. You spread this revelation, this revolutionary concept of who you are and who you really are now. And you're not the person that everybody has labeled you, and they have shunned you, and they have given up on you. But I'm telling you, God has not given up on you. He said to get over you and get in Him, and when you do that, you're going to begin to see things that you have never seen before, because you can't earth, and there is no earthly way that you could accomplish this thing. This thing is bigger than what you have ever seen. Okay, this is massive. This is going to the masses. This is reaching the masses, and there's things that have been deposited in you because you have sought, you have searched, you have found Him, and not only have you found Him, you've had a divine revelation of who He is in you. And you know who you are. And you are not bound by the things of the world. And you are not bound by things of the flesh. And you are not bound by what you see. And you have Do you understand there are no limitations in Christ? Do you understand that everything now, the impossible becomes possible, the unreachable become reachable, the ungodly become godly, the unrighteous become righteous, and he's wanting to pour this out, and he's wanting to see you through this, and he is wanting to develop the character and nature of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he's developing that character as you step out for him in faith. And you don't look at your atmosphere. You don't look at your situation. You don't look at people around you. You don't look at what you see. You don't look at the scoffers. And you begin to walk on a different playing field. And you're never going to know what it's like until you get out of you and get in him and move into the realm of the impossible, move into the realm of the supernatural. And you're not going to know who you are in Christ until you begin to speak it, until you begin to pour it out of you, and until you begin to step out for him in faith. And faith requires action. Do you understand? Faith requires action. And action requires courage. And courage requires productivity. Productivity productivity is an act that is uncovered as we are courageous, as we step out in Christ and in faith. Okay, we need courage to step out in faith, and we need, you know, we need these things. But as we do that, see, we establish these different things, and there's it's like a production line in a factory, and you are producing, you're producing a product, and you step out. And you come onto the line and you begin to produce. And you may be at the end of the line. You may be at the front of the line. Who knows where you're at in the line? Who knows? Who cares where you're at in the line? Just that you're in the line and you're creating this product, and you may be in the beginning of the line, and you may be making the body, the head of this product, and it doesn't mean that the product is completed. There's someone else down the line that is completing that product, and so you're productive, and the production, and that was, you know, it takes a certain amount of courage to work, you know, in certain environments, and it takes a certain amount of faith to step out for some people and begin to produce, you know, what happens though is that we have so many people that think you're supposed to go to church and sit down and watch this man, and he's supposed to preach to you out of the Word, and you're supposed to go home and be happy. That's a false gospel. That is creating unproductive followers who are looking to one man to give them what they want, and they are not producing anything for anybody. And this production line that you're on, you're producing things for the masses. You're producing things that are going to change and revolutionize the world. And you're producing things in the spirit. And you are giving others the tools that they need to go forth in the mighty name of Jesus. And you are not creating followers. You're creating leaders. And leaders rise up to a new place in Jesus. And they take the torch, and they pass the torch on to other leaders, and they pass what they know, and they pass their knowledge, and they pass the production, and they pass the finished product unto other people, and the people use it for what it is supposed to be used for. And so we've got to come out of ourselves. We've got to come out of complacency. We've got to come out of hiddenness. We've got to come out of, we go to church to hear this word, to get to, for us to be happy and to have, you know, productive lives. Okay, once you die, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about what you want. It's not about a big house. It's not about a big car. It's not about boats. It's not about houses. It's not about cars. It's not about cars or clothes, okay? That is a self-focused, self-righteous, hypocritical gospel, and Jesus never he never preached that gospel. He preached, do unto others as you would have done unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. And now we've become so self-focused that we want more than our neighbor, and we've coveted our neighbor's goods, and we've coveted our neighbor's wife, and we've coveted our neighbor's things, and we've become an adulterous generation where we want, and we haven't received enough. And so we're not getting enough because our bellies are not getting full of the things we want. And when you give things away, I'm telling you that there is a law, and it is called sowing and reaping. And when you give, when you give of yourself, when you give the treasures, when you give the production, when you give your courage, when you give yourself, when you get you're giving what's in you, you're giving the gifts, you're giving Jesus, and I'm telling you, it is multiplied back to you. And we become so self-focused in the church, and we've got even people that are going off in the church. There's people that are going off into these hidden places, and they're hiding from the world, and you know, we're hid out, and you know, we're safe from danger here because we are hid out, and when things start going bad, we're going to be hid out. He said, why would you hide your light under a bushel? You need your light to shine before men. You need to go out. You need to let your light shine so bright before men that they see your good works and that they glorify your God in heaven. But we've got people in the church that are so self-focused, that are so self-righteous, that are so hypocritical, and they have no power because they're not releasing what they have, the power of God, the fruits of the Spirit, the giftings of God, and they're not releasing it, and they're not giving these gifts out to others that need the gifts, and they're reserving them in this reservoir tank. And there's this dam that has been built up, and you know what? When that happens, you become not a doer of the word, but a hearer only, and you are deceiving your own selves. Do you understand? You are deceiving your own self when you go to church on Sunday and you come home and you start building your kingdom, and you are not building the kingdom of God. And he said, "Why do you say unto me, Lord, Lord, and do not do as I have commanded you to do?" And I'm telling you that Mark 16:15 is a commandment. It is a commandment to all believers. It says that believers shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. And we've believed this false gospel, and we've lived this false gospel, and we have nothing to show for it. And we're just going to have a bunch of stuff, and we're just going to be hoarded up in our rooms and scared because, you know, the end times are coming and there's bad things coming, and we're hid out, and we're so self-focused, and we deceive our own selves. And so in order to receive divine revelation, you've got to give it out. You've got to give it out, because when you start giving it out, he starts, you know what? You give it out. As soon as you give it out, he pours it back in. These rivers are unending. But what happens is we go into these churches and we go into these places, and God has given us a word to speak. But I'm telling you that there's such a religious demonic. I'm telling you, religion is demonic. Religion, binds. And do you know, remember when Jesus went into the temple and he healed the man, the man who was paralyzed, who was in the bed, and he said, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And he said, "Your sins have been forgiven you. Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And they said, "Only God has the power to forgive sins. And what are you doing forgiving men of their sins on the Sabbath? And you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath." They held so fast to their traditions of men that were of no effect, and they held people in bondage to their traditions, and the man was bound, he was sick, he was on his deathbed, and Jesus raised him to life, and Jesus came to bring life. And he came to destroy the religion. He came to destroy the traditions of men. And he came to destroy the false gospel that had been built up by men. And he said, "Now I am the way. Now I am the truth. Now I am the life. And all who come to me, receive this life, receive this goodness, receive mercy." And he was a merciful God. And listen, his message spread. It spread like wildfire among the common people, among the poor people, among those who could do nothing for themselves. And his message spread, and he healed them, and he raised them from the dead, and he was popular among the common people. But when he went into the synagogues and began to throw the money changers over that were in the temples, and he began to call them out for who they really were, and they thought, you know, they thought he should be for them, but he was not. He was not for them. Do you know why he was not for them? Because they were not for his Father, and they were not for the kingdom of God, and they were for themselves, and they were building up traditions of men, and they were building up vain, foolish ideas that had nothing to do with the kingdom of God and building up the kingdom of God, but it had all to do with building up their kingdoms on this earth. And I don't think there's some of them, I'm sure, that died, but thank God that he died for them too. Thank God that he raised them to a new life when he went into hell, and he brought out the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And if some of them perished before Jesus accomplished what he had accomplished, which was to redeem mankind from death, because up until the point that Jesus came on the earth, man was doomed. They were doomed into Sheol, into this place of darkness. And God Jesus, when he raised from the dead, he raised us into a newness of life, and he raised us to sit with him in heavenly places. And he went into those places and hell, and he brought those people that died before he ever came to the earth, all of humanity that had died and had not heard the message were brought out of that darkness, and they were redeemed in Jesus' name. And so now he redeems us by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And he gave those men a second chance. And he gives you today a second chance. And he says that not to walk by the way of the world, but to walk after him, and to walk after the Spirit of God, and to begin to be moved by the Spirit of God, and to allow the Spirit of God in you to move you, to direct you into this new place of complete abandonment for Jesus, into complete abandonment for the gospel, for the sake of salvation, for the sake of it says that heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents, who comes to Jesus, and who is saved. And heaven is rejoicing when you're declaring the salvation message of Jesus Christ, that he came to save men from their sins, not in their sins, but from their sins. And he is bringing this message through you, and you're delivering it to the nations, and you're sending forth the word of God because it is in your belly, because he put this in your belly. He put this DNA. You have the DNA of God. You have the DNA of Jesus. When you died, your life is hid in him now, and you have the DNA of Jesus. When you speak, he is speaking through you. It is no longer you that live, but Christ who lives in you. And you speak, and then you speak, and everything that you speak into the body of Christ, he is speaking through you. And you're not this what happens is you get in religion, you get in religious circles, you get in churches, and the self-focus is there, and you lose your identity, because Jesus was not self-focused, okay? That is not your identity. So you're living from an identity that isn't even yours. You're living from an identity that, yes, you may have self-confidence in you, but that is humanism. And the world is saying, yes, believe in yourself. Yes, you can do this. Yes, you can do this. You have to believe in yourself. And the New Age people, they're saying, that your mind, you have the power to release endorphins when you think good thoughts, and you can heal your body through good thoughts and yourself, and you have this in you, and you're it's about you. And don't you know it's about yourself? And it's a demon. It's a demon. Do you understand me? The New Age, and it's seeped into the church, New Age Christianity is a self-focused Christianity, and it is nothing different than what Wayne Dyer and then what these other occult New Age members are teaching. And they're saying it's about you. It's about what God is going to do for you. Come into the kingdom, receive Jesus, and He will give you the desires of your heart, and He will give you everything that you need to move forward in your self-righteousness, in your holiness, and what you do is what's important. And you know, you begin to do all these things in the church, and you begin to do all these things for the church, and you become self-focused and self, you become greedy, and you become despondent to the Holy Spirit because Jesus isn't in it. And he said that his will was to do the will of God. And so you don't even know what God's will is for your life because you're living this lie in this church, and you're going to church. I'm telling you, this is deception, okay? You believe it's okay because you have done it for so long. You say a prayer and it becomes a monotonous prayer, okay? I was raised in the Catholic Church and I was taught to pray the Hail Mary, the Our Father who art in heaven. And, you know, John 3:16 becomes just another verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall have everlasting life. And it becomes such a monotonous, just a mantra. It's no different than these New Age people that are saying, say this, say this, say this, over and over, until, you know, you believe this or whatever, and, you know, and it becomes, you have no revelation, you have no identity, you are not in Christ, you are in yourself, and you're self-focused, and you want, and you can't get enough. You will never satisfy the need to fill your hunger. The hunger is filled in Christ, in Jesus, and in the Holy Spirit. But we become despondent to the Holy Spirit when we become self-focused, and we're no different than these New Age occult leaders and members who are leading people into a ditch and saying, okay, I just know everything, you know, we know, you know, even unsaved people know that there's something going on. You know, I own a gun shop and people are coming to my store and they are buying guns like mad. Okay. People that would have never owned a gun in their lives are coming into my shop. They are buying guns, and they are, because they know something is about to happen, and they know that there's something happening in the spirit realm, and they sense it. And man, you can hear them and listen to what's going on, and they talk about the government and what's going on with the government, and the unsaved people. It's normal for unsaved people to be self-focused and say, okay, I'm hoarding up. I'm hoarding up for my family. I'm hoarding up things for myself. But it says in the Bible that those who give to the poor give to the Lord. And if you begin to pour out what you have and give out, I'm telling you, it will be reproduced by the hand of Almighty God, because what you give out of sacrifice, He gives back. Look at the woman with the alabaster box. Look at the woman who had nothing, who gave all that she had. that was more to God than what the people that had much that gave little. And I'm telling you, you give little. You give much when you have little, and God sees that, and He multiplies that, and it's like the bread and the fish, and the multiplication of the loaves. And they looked out into the crowd, His disciples, and they said, God, you know, we've got, I don't even know, 5 loaves, 2 fish, however many it was. And He said, it doesn't matter. Here, start handing these out. Here, start breaking the bread. Here, give it out. You multiply it when you give it out. You do not multiply when you give in. When you give to yourself, and when you're self-focused, and when you begin to hoard up for yourself, you lose it. You lose the supernatural. You lose the provision of God, because God is not in it. And there's a kingdom law, and it is His desire that He give you the kingdom. And if you don't know what the kingdom is, you're not operating in that kingdom. And there's an earthly, there's even an earthly, concept, and it's called sowing and reaping. And I'm telling you, you're going to sow what you reap. And if all you've been doing is getting, and instead of giving, you're just going to sow from that kingdom. And when there is nothing more to get, you're not going to have anything more to get. And but when people have little, and there's things going on in the world, because we know it's coming. The people that are full of God and that have given and given and given and given, they're going to see the supernatural, and they're going to be multiplied, and things are going to be multiplied to them, and loaves are going to be multiplied to them, and fishes are going to be multiplied to them, and bread is going to be multiplied to them, and they're going to give it out. And the more they give out, the more they're going to receive, and they can't even keep what they get, because there's more than enough in the kingdom of God, and there is no lack in the kingdom of God, and there is no thing that He shall withhold from His sons. And we are sons of the Most High God, and we arise from our slumber, from our slack, from our hiddenness, from hiding out and saying, oh, you know, I've got to go over here and hide out. No, God doesn't call you to live lives of hiddenness and hidden out. Yes, we are hidden in Christ, but when we are hid in Christ, we can go into the darkness. We can go into the witch camps. We can go into the drug lords' property, into their territory. And we can declare under the sound of the name of Jesus. And we can begin to prophesy over drug lords, over prostitutes, arenas where the enemy has had his influence, and where the enemy has been at work through these drug lords, and through the mafia, and through the prostitutes. And I'm telling you that you go into those atmospheres, and you are not intimidated, because you go with the Spirit of God, you go with the goodness of God, and you go with His power and with His authority. And there is nothing, there is nothing that shall by any means harm you. And there is nothing that will stand in the way between you and this glorious gospel and this glorious light that is in you. And as you go to the nations, you're releasing atmospheres of heaven, and you're releasing provision of heaven. And it's going to take a lot of ministries. It's going to take a lot of people that are going to go forth and begin to release the atmosphere, the kingdom, the provision, the goodness of God in the land of the living.